are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock back again on this Monday edition. No game to recap today. 49ers already big winners this week. Thursday night in Arizona. In fact, the 49ers still the only away team to have won this weekend in the NFL. Technically, I guess the Houston Texans won in an away game in London, but it wasn't a true home game for the Jaguars there. And we'll see what happens on Monday Night Football. But a lot of home teams defending their turf this weekend. I do want to talk about some of those games that impact the 49ers and the NFC playoff picture, but today's podcast mostly is going to be about Quan Alexander, the Quan quandary. Who will replace Quan Alexander at linebacker for the 49ers the rest of the season? Quick reminder, tomorrow, mailbag show. Hit me up on Twitter at BDPeacock or email lockedon49ers@gmail.com if you want to get involved in Tuesday's mailbag. We will have a crossover looking ahead to the Seahawks Wednesday, and of course, a weekly wink Thursday, and maybe another special guest Friday. I'm not sure. We'll see what happens the rest of the week here. See what kind of news we get coming down the pipeline for the 49ers. If you want to subscribe to this show, you can find it on all of your favorite podcast apps, just like all of the programs here on the Locked On Podcast Network. By the way, one of the games we'll have to talk about later in the show is the Baltimore Ravens knocking off the New England Patriots Sunday night, meaning the Patriots have their first loss of the season, and your San Francisco 49ers are the last unbeaten left in the NFL at 8-0. More notes on the Ravens, the Packers, the Seahawks later on. Let's talk Quan Alexander, 49ers. Weak side linebacker, torn pectoral muscle. He is done for the season. It's about a six-month recovery time, so that means he won't be back, even if the 49ers are playing in February, but should be ready to go for the 2020 season. So back next year will be Quan Alexander. It won't affect his leg, so it won't affect that speed and playmaking ability and a torn pec muscle. It's a rough one to recover from, but should be back 100%. Another unfortunate injury setback in Quan Alexander's career, and I'm definitely not going to doubt his ability to come back from this after seeing him return from a torn ACL in record time last year and be ready for week one. I was blown away by that recovery. I was definitely skeptical when the 49ers signed Quan Alexander because of how late he tore his ACL last season. But how has Quan Alexander played through eight games, and what will the 49ers need to replace for the next eight-plus games? I'll start with this with Quan Alexander, and it's not something that's easily quantifiable, but Quan Alexander brings a definite energy to the 49ers defense, and it's probably something that can't be replicated by another player that's currently on the roster. So I think that's something that's definitely going to be missed. He brings such an energy. It's unbelievable, and it's something that, and it's not even, I'm not one of those people that likes, you know, the hyperbole of like, oh, this guy brings this, whatever. But you can hear it. You can sense it. You can really feel Quan Alexander when he's on the field, whether you're there in person, whether you are watching the broadcast, hearing him scream and yell and getting his teammates pumped up and the way he flies around. He's a very energetic player, and I think players probably feed off that. How much, I'm really not sure, but you can sense it. So that's something that is going to be tough for the 49ers to replace. I don't know how much they feed off that at this point in the season, if it was something that maybe gave him an initial jump, and then it's like, whatever. But he brings energy, and that's like more than anybody that I've seen in a while for the 49ers. He brings a ton of energy. But his strength as a player on the field is coverage. He's one of the better coverage linebackers in the NFL this year. He's been phenomenal in that regard. In fact, if you look at the 49ers Pro Football Focus grades, he is the third highest graded coverage defender on the team. So he's among a bunch of defensive backs. It's Richard Sherman 1, Kawan Williams 2, then Quan Alexander. Then after Quan, it's a bunch more DBs. Witherspoon, Mosley. He's really good. And then his partner there, Fred Warner, also really good as a coverage linebacker. So that's the thing the 49ers are going to have to replaced the most in the most difficult, and that's 201 coverage snaps. He's got more snaps in coverage than he does against the run. 201 coverage snaps versus 137 snaps in run defense. A couple of numbers that help illustrate how good Quan Alexander's been in coverage this year. His opponent's passer rating, 67.4, is the lowest in the NFL for linebackers that have played 50% of their team's snaps. And actually, Fred Warner's number 7 on the list. So the 49ers have two of the top 7 linebackers in the league when looking at opposing quarterbacks' passer rating when targeting them. 67.4 for Quan Alexander, 87.4 passer rating when targeting Fred Warner, and Quan Alexander's top 10 in the league in coverage snaps per reception. It's the run defense that I don't think the 49ers are going to have to worry about as far as Quan Alexander goes. They definitely have to worry about their run defense, but Quan Alexander has not been necessarily strong there. And part of it's probably because a lack of size. And some of it is missed tackles. He only has 30 tackles on the season, but 8 missed tackles. So that's definitely part of it. And it's tough for the run fits for some of these undersized linebackers. Quan Alexander and Fred Warner have the two lowest run defense grades on the 49ers roster. Below everybody. Those grades from PFF. And you don't have to take Pro Football Focus's grades as gospel. It's more of a cross-check. It's like, look, what did I see on the field with my eyes? And let's cross-reference that with these PFF grades. And they're looking at everything, and they're grading every snap, every play, every game. And if those match up, you can be pretty confident in believing what you're seeing from a player. And those run defense grades do feel a little low for Quan and Fred Warner, both from PFF. But they have been up and down a little bit this season. Started out with a bang. Last few weeks, not as good. So that might be sort of shocking to hear. And it's a little bit surprising because I think there were some unfortunate grades earlier in the season that I might not agree with, but I have seen some, especially last week, was not great for that linebacking duo. Missed tackles, and I think part of it is they're seeing some blockers that isn't ideal for a linebacker who's 227 pounds, and the 49ers need to do a better job up front of keeping blockers out of the second level. But the speed is there, and he gets to players, and he was thumping people earlier in the season, looking at his week-by-week grades, and obviously he got kicked out of that opening game, and that was when Dre Greenlaw saw the most snaps, so we'll talk more about that week one. But week two against Cincinnati was Quan's best game of the season. He had a 91.5 grade that week from Pro Football Focus, 92 in coverage. He was all over the field. He was making hits. He had his lone interception of the season that week. He was all over the place. And people were like, wow, this Quan Alexander is really good. And he's tapered off a little bit since then, but it's really the last 4 weeks that he's graded out extremely poorly. And a lot of that as a tackler. Missing tackles was huge, and some bad angles last week as well against the Cardinals. So that's something that has been troublesome for the 49ers. Here and there, as far as the run game, it hasn't burnt them as far as the win-loss records go, but it's going to. So they've got to definitely fix some things as a run defense as a whole. And taking out Quan Alexander and plugging in maybe Dre Greenlaw, maybe Azeez Al-Shaair, I don't think they're going to lose that much as a run defense plugging those guys in. It's the coverage stuff, and his athleticism and coverage has really shined so far. And he's actually had his best season as a coverage linebacker in the NFL, really taken off in this scheme, taking advantage of his athleticism in coverage especially. So who are the candidates to replace Quan Alexander? There's one guy that's going to get the obvious first crack, but some other players should see more of the field as well. Long day at work, still stuck at the office? Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. Most guys have tried different ways to last longer, but saying the Pledge of Allegiance in your head or counting backwards from 10 doesn't always work. The folks at Roman, a men's health company, are changing the game with Roman Swipes, a clinically proven way to last longer in bed. They're effective, easy to use, and fast-acting, but don't require a prescription. Roman can ship swipes to you in discreet, unmarked packaging, and each swipes packet is small enough to hide in your wallet for whenever you need it. Swipes are great. They will not transfer to your partner, so you can last longer without worrying. They're super easy to use. Just take swipes out of the packet, swipe it on, let it dry, and you're good to go. That's it. And now get $10 off your first order of swipes and free two-day shipping at GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL, one word, LockedOnNFL, for $10 off your first order of Roman swipes and free two-day shipping. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL. Are you losing sleep at night over your unfiled tax returns or the large amount you owe the IRS or any other state tax agency? Does it feel like you're trapped and that these tax problems will never go away? Are you worried the IRS will garnish your bank account or your wages? Do you want to be free and put these tax problems behind you? Greg's Tax Service is your local tax resolution specialist. Greg's Tax Service has been in the business for over 25 years and is passionate about helping their clients resolve their tax issues and to get them all the deductions and credits they're entitled to when preparing their tax returns. Call or text Greg's Tax Service at 925-778-4871 to set up an appointment to find out the best options available to free you from your tax problems. Again, that's 925-778-4871. Call or text to set up an appointment, and if you qualify, they can help you settle with the IRS for less than the full amount you owe. Remember, Greg's Tax Service for all your tax needs. Greg's Tax Service is your local tax advocate, standing up and defending the rights of taxpayers. Find them online at gregstaxservice.com. Rookie fifth rounder Dre Greenlaw. He's been on the field a little bit. It's been a nice season for him to jump in and start developing in the NFL. Undersized linebacker, similar weight. They're both listed at 227 pounds here. He's about 5'11", a little bit taller than 5'11", maybe 6 feet. So just a hair smaller than Quan Alexander, but it's a similar type of player. He's got range as a tackler. He can run, quote-unquote, sideline to sideline, right? And you would think that a guy who was a former safety in college and is an undersized linebacker known more for his athleticism would be better in coverage than he has been. But you think about, well, why was he moved from safety to linebacker? Probably because he wasn't that good in coverage, right? So maybe you're asking too much of Dre Greenlaw, even though he's fast, to be really great in coverage. And maybe there's more there. And I'm sure he's got those tools to develop. He just needs to add some skills to those tools and hone that into some better coverage. But he was not good in the preseason. I was a little bit worried when I saw him in coverage in the preseason, but he, like a lot of rookies, he's gotten better, and he's graded out okay as a coverage defender, 61.2 grade according to Pro Football Focus as a cover guy. Not a ton of snaps there. He's got 94 snaps on the season in coverage, 73 against the run, so 173 total snaps. He's got 6 rushing the passer as well. Week one, he got his most extended action. He saw 56 snaps in week one, and it was also his highest graded game of the season. He was graded 75.7 by Pro Football Focus there. He had 3 tackles, a couple of stops, you know, nothing mind-blowing there, but he showed off that athleticism. It was his best game as a coverage guy, his best game as a tackler, and he was able to play a lot, and hopefully it's that Dre Greenlaw that we see the rest of the way for Quan Alexander playing weak side linebacker. So Dre Greenlaw basically has only been playing in base, so he hasn't been playing a big percentage of the snaps. He played 27 snaps last week, 29 the week before, some other games that have teams that spread out, and the 49ers were in nickel a lot. He played even less than that. He only played 13 snaps against Cleveland. So he's been mostly a base strong side linebacker for the 49ers. When he moves from strong side linebacker to weak side linebacker, and he will be the guy, most likely it's going to be Dre Greenlaw being the every down weak side linebacker now, basically completely replacing Quan Alexander's snaps. So he's got some shoes to fill. As far as run, I mean, he's graded better than Quan as a run defender so far this year. We'll see if that holds up, although he hasn't graded out exceptionally there either. And he does have range, and I like his arm. seems like he has really long arms for how short of a player he is, because he's good at wrapping up, and he just seems like his arms are involved in the tackle, and he's more sound as a tackle. He's not sort of that thumper sort of a tackler that tries to blow guys up and keeps his arms down as a side. You know, he wraps up well, and he's got good range as a tackler. And hopefully that athleticism and range really does translate to coverage better, and the more reps he gets, was, I'm sure, I mean, it's got to be difficult to cover guys in the NFL. Jumping from college and transitioning in the NFL, that's got to be difficult. And we saw Quan Alexander get better at that as his career went on. And by the way, Dre Greenlaw has missed zero tackles so far this season, according to PFF. So the tools are there for Dre Greenlaw, and he's been a nice surprising find as a fifth rounder, even to just jump in and play, you know, a handful of snaps as a starting base linebacker in this scheme. But, and this, the way that their linebackers are this year, they're all sort of off-ball linebackers, is pretty interchangeable. I don't think it'll be that difficult for him to jump in and play a bunch of weak side linebacker snaps compared to his strong side backer that he's been playing so far this year. But the one thing you hope doesn't happen is that he becomes a liability in coverage and is still not good as a run defender, and the 49ers run defense suffers, and then their pass defense now starts to suffer. Looking at the reception percentage against Dre Greenlaw in coverage, and he's had, again, a total of 94 coverage snaps. He's been targeted 9 times, and he's given up 8 receptions. So only one time was the player that was targeted while Dre Greenlaw was in coverage not make the catch. But again, that's small sample. And I go back to the few plays I've seen with him in coverage, and a lot of times it puts stress on the 49ers linebackers in coverage because they've got to cover a lot of ground. They've got to cover guys crossing behind them. They've got to range from the middle of the field all the way to the sideline at times. And so you have to have range, and you have to have a lot of awareness to what's going on around you. And he was completely lost at times in the preseason, and I haven't watched him closely. Mostly he's been doing it as a base strong side linebacker, so it hasn't been nickel situations as a coverage guy. So a lot's going to be put on him, and he's going to be stressed as a coverage player, and he's going to have to do a lot, and he's going to have to range behind him. He's going to have to range left to right, and he's going to have to come up and fill against the run and fill against guys who catch the ball in front of him. So it's a tough ask, and that's why they want super athletic players, because you have to cover so much ground in this scheme at middle linebacker and weak side linebacker. So it is a tough task for the rookie to jump in and take on a full-time starting role. But the 49ers have been fantastic in coaching these players up. And we've seen Emmanuel Mosley jump in and seen zero drop-off between Akella Witherspoon and Emmanuel Mosley at right cornerback. We've seen Joe Staley leave, and we've seen Justin School jump in. And it hasn't been zero drop-off, but it hasn't been the catastrophic drop that you would be worried about. We've seen Mike McGlinchey leave and Daniel Brunskill jumping in at right tackle. And again, not a huge drop-off, which has been phenomenal for the 49ers to be able to remain unbeaten and just keep this thing going. Now, the good news is they're going to get a lot of those players back, maybe all of those players coming back Monday night. So now that linebacker spot becomes one of the only places where they don't have their original starter. And can they scheme around that? Do they decide to, hey, we've got Akella Witherspoon back, he's going to start again at right corner, well, we're in an obvious passing down situation, let's bring in a dime defense, let's replace our weak side linebacker with Emmanuel Mosley, who's got experience in the slot. He can play outside, he can play inside. Let's let him cover somebody from there rather than asking our rookie linebacker to do something he's not great at in coverage, as long as it's, you know, the proper down and distance situation. So if it's medium distance, you still stick with the linebacker. Maybe if it's, you know, third and long, you go with the DB in there, whether it's a safety or a cornerback instead of Dre Greenlaw. That'll be interesting to see how the 49ers scheme around that if they try to change things up a little bit and try to get their best coverage guys on the field in obvious passing situations. In short, Dre Greenlaw's strength is his athleticism and his range as a tackler. His weaknesses are his ability to take on blocks, although it looked like he's gotten a little bit better than that since what I saw in college, because he was really bad in that aspect in college, which is a little worrisome because the 49ers haven't done a great job up front of keeping their linebackers clean, and they've only got one true nose tackle on the roster in DJ Jones, who's been banged up a little bit. So If they can keep Dre Greenlaw clean, that would be very helpful to him. And then he's just really raw in coverage, even though there are some tools there where you would think he would be a pretty good coverage linebacker. So we'll see how he develops, and hopefully a lot of development has happened behind the scenes. And when he gets thrown in there, he's been coached up and he's ready to go, just like we saw from a lot of the 49ers that have been forced into action this year. The next candidate to get some snaps while Quan Alexander is out is undrafted rookie Azeez Al-Shaair. And I have been super impressed with Azeez Al-Shaair from the first game we saw him play in the preseason. And one thing that stands out with Azeez versus some of these other linebackers is his size. He's not listed super huge, 6'2", 230 pounds, but he just plays a lot bigger and looks a lot bigger on the field. And I think he played more like 240 pounds in college. I don't know if he's lost a bunch of weight from his Florida Atlantic days, but he was a tackling machine in college, and he's continued that so far in a very limited usage in the NFL. But he was all over the place in the preseason, and if I was choosing a linebacker to be in there and play against the run game that was coming right at you, I would probably choose Azeez Al-Shaair to be the guy who replaces Quan Alexander. And he does have some surprising range, too. He's got some really good range as a tackler and coming downhill. Now, in coverage, he doesn't have the same athleticism that Quan does or even that Dre Greenlaw does, even though he can move a little bit. So I think that the coverage snaps will definitely go to Dre Greenlaw. And if anything, Azeez Al-Shaair has an opportunity to jump into Dre Greenlaw's old base strong side linebacker snaps. So that becomes the question. When there's three linebackers on the field and Dre Greenlaw's playing the will spot, is the strong side linebacker going to be then Azeez Al-Shaair, or will it be veteran Mark Nzacha? Even though Mark Nzacha has only been playing special teams so far this season, and Azeez Al-Shaair has been the linebacker in the game, whether it's middle linebacker, will, he's been in there more so than Mark Nzacha has. It's still a very small sample for things that you can take away from what we've seen this year from Al-Shaair, even though he really flashes. He flashed in that week two game, just a couple of plays. He's only got 33 total snaps on the season, 10 of those as a run defender, 21 of those in coverage, although he's only been targeted twice this season, and he's given up one catch for 21 yards. So not a lot to take away from Azeez Al-Shaair's snaps, just the flashes I've seen from him when he is on the field. He just gets downhill in a hurry and gets to ball carriers, and he comes with a little bit more thump than some of the other linebackers on the 49ers roster. And I really like Al-Shaair. And if you argued to me, if you said, Brian, from what I've seen in the small samples of both rookie linebackers, fifth rounder Dre Greenlaw and the undrafted Azeez Al-Shaair, and I like Azeez Al-Shaair better, and I think he's a better overall linebacker, I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to argue with you about that. I've really liked what I've seen, and we might find out that he is actually better than Dre Greenlaw, and maybe he's better against the run. Maybe he's got some ability that we don't know about as a coverage guy once he gets more snaps there, but he should be on the field more. But it remains to be seen if he's going to jump into a pseudo starting role. You say it's a starter, but in that base strong side linebacker role, it's really not a starter's amount of reps. Although you'll still be on the field a lot more than he has been, just as a backup who's coming in to relieve guys for very short stretches. Mark Nzacha, I think, is a player that the coaching staff really likes. He's much bigger, and he's a much better fit in the old strong side linebacker role that was almost a hybrid edge type of a player at 6'3", 240 pounds. He's definitely not too big to play, especially in a base role where it's more of a run defense role anyway. So Nzacha, I imagine, is going to get a shot to play some defense. The question is, does he jump in and play a starter's reps as strong side linebacker, or do they go with the undrafted rookie? And that means that there's still a spot on the roster, because when Quan Alexander leaves, they're going to have to add a body. And I've been getting a lot of questions this week about some free agents that might be out there. There's Malcolm Smith out there that was a former 49er. He would make a lot of sense because he knows the scheme if they do decide to bring somebody in. But I really think it's going to just be a situation where they elevate Elijah Lee, who also knows the system, has been around the 49ers. They elevate him from the practice squad to the 53-man roster, and then maybe they try to pick up a street free agent to put on the practice squad to replace Elijah Lee's spot there. But that would be my guess is how they attack things. So I would be surprised if they bring in Malcolm Smith right away, unless there's another injury. I'd be surprised if they bring in Zach Brown, has been a name that's been thrown around. And those guys are, they're on the street for a reason. And if the 49ers fix this, it's going to be from within. It's going to be somebody on the roster, and it's going to be one of those rookie linebackers, Dre Greenlaw or Azeez Al-Shaair, that steps up. Before we get out of here, let's take a look at the NFC playoff picture and what changed Sunday. This episode is brought to you in part by Greg's Tax Service. Honest and straightforward, Greg's Tax Service has been in the business for 25 years. They can help with any number of tax problems, including unfiled returns, back taxes, IRS collection, and audit representation. Find out more at gregstaxservice.com. First of all, we've got to talk Baltimore Ravens in the AFC, because the Ravens are on the 49ers schedule in Week 12, and they are the first team to have knocked off the New England Patriots. Now, a lot of people, just like the 49ers, so if you're a 49ers fan and you're annoyed how people are saying, hey, the 49ers haven't played anybody yet, you can't say the same thing about the Patriots, right? Because they were going 8-0 and they had beaten up on teams that were worse than the 49ers opponents so far, and they've gotten to play multiple games against that NFC or the AFC East, which is not good at all. The only team that had played them close so far is the Buffalo Bills, and it's really the only team that's any good that they played, period. And they got a legit team on their schedule in the Baltimore Ravens, and they weren't able to beat them. And the Ravens looked very good, and it looked scary good at times in certain ways. That's got to be a tough offense to defend against. And Lamar Jackson, who is dynamic with the ball in his hands and can sling the rock too, so you can't overcommit to the run game. But we'll see a lot of Greg Roman's pistol offense that we saw with Colin Kaepernick when he was the offensive coordinator for the 49ers, and he's running the show there on offense for the Baltimore Ravens, and some similar looks and some new wrinkles. And they've got speed on the outside. The rookie Marquise Hollywood Brown can fly. It's going to be a unique challenge for the 49ers defense. I think it's going to be a fun one in Week 12. But I think it's clear that the Ravens are ready for prime time, and they look legit. So I can't wait until that week, I think it's Week 12 matchup with the Baltimore Ravens. Taking a look at the NFC, there was an overtime match. Speaking of teams who are good and teams who are not good, the 49ers went to Tampa and beat up on the Buccaneers. And now the Seahawks, it took them overtime at home to beat the Buccaneers 40-34 Sunday. Russell Wilson adding to his potential MVP resume, throwing 5 touchdown passes in that game, 378 yards, and they threw the ball a lot more than they ran the ball, which is unlike the Seahawks. But this wasn't one of those grind it out, keep the score low, win it late games. This was a shootout, throw the ball all over the place for both team, win it late games for the Seahawks. And Russell Wilson was able to do it, went down the field and scored in OT to give the Seahawks that victory. They're 7-2 now on the season. The 49ers and Seahawks is going to be a big one next Monday night. A lot of wins between these two teams. 15 wins combined between these two teams, which is the highest total of wins between two teams so far to face each other in the 2019 season in the NFL. And what's interesting, actually, is that the Seahawks and 49ers, the MyBookie lines, are already in for that game. And the 49ers are favored by 6.5 points, which is, I thought the 49ers would be favored at home, but 6.5 points is a lot of points to be favored over a 7-2 team. And by the way, the 49ers are favored over the Seahawks for the first time since Thanksgiving in 2014. In case some of you blocked that out of your memory, that was the infamous game where Russell Wilson and Richard Sherman ate turkey on the Levi's Stadium 50-yard line post-game. Yeah, that's a memory that needs to get erased at Levi's Stadium. And a thumping of the Seahawks and taking a 3-game lead in the NFC West would be a great time to do that for the 49ers in Week 10. Speaking of the Seahawks, can we talk about Josh Gordon? We probably should real quick. I haven't really covered it since he was claimed off of waivers. The former Patriot that was released from IR this week, he was claimed by the Seattle Seahawks, a player the 49ers fans have long coveted, but Kyle Shanahan coached Gordon in 2012, and the 49ers didn't want to spend a fifth rounder to trade for him from Cleveland last year despite the need at wide receiver. So after trading for Emmanuel Sanders, I guess it should not be surprising that San Francisco didn't put a waiver claim in on Gordon. According to reports, Seattle was the only team to put a claim in on Gordon. So no, the 49ers wouldn't even have claimed him anyway, even if he got all the way to claim number 31. Reports also said that there was a half dozen teams that were hoping to work out Gordon if he passed through waivers unclaimed. I don't know if the 49ers were one of them. Originally, I was surprised that Gordon was available so late at the 28 waiver spot. But when you think about it, like how unreliable Gordon has been throughout his career and that New England was willing to just let him go, even though he was going to be healthy in a couple weeks. He had a minor injury and they just slap him on IR and then wait until the trade deadline to let him go, so that way he doesn't go become a free agent, so he goes to waivers. And the Patriots traded a second rounder to get Mohamed Sanu, a less physically gifted wide receiver. So they wanted Sanu over Gordon, and it was worth a second rounder to upgrade from that guy to that guy. So if you go by what the Pats did, then maybe it's not a surprise that Gordon didn't get claimed by anybody else. But the fact that the Pats waited until after the trade deadline to release him, meaning that he went to waivers instead of became a free agent, that means they at least thought enough of him that they didn't want one of the teams they might face in the playoffs to pick him up. And I wonder if Seattle potentially wanted to keep him from San Francisco or New Orleans or Green Bay or one of those teams at the end that they thought might pick him up and didn't want to help someone they might be facing in the playoffs. How healthy he is. He did pass his physical, by the way, so apparently he'll be able to start practicing, but passing your physical doesn't mean you're ready to play either as far as health goes. But there's a good chance Gordon debuts against the 49ers next Monday night. Man, he and DK Metcalf, two of the most physically imposing wide receivers in the league playing on the same team now. Gordon will probably be the number three guy. DK Metcalf will be, you know, the number two with Tyler Lockett, who's been the target hog so far there in Seattle. DK Metcalf, by the way, having a really big game Sunday. Looking more and more confident. Leads all rookie wide receivers in touchdown catches with five and receiving yards now with over 500, averaging 20 yards per catch. Shadow 49er. Can't believe Seattle got him at the very end of round two. That one I don't get. But we'll see how the 49ers defend DK Metcalf and now Josh Gordon to go with Tyler Lockett next Monday night. We'll talk a lot more about that this week. The Packers lost the Chargers. They look terrible. They have their second loss of the season now. So the NFC is there for the 49ers to take and have that one seat. But they've got a lot of work to do and some big games coming up on the schedule. And if you want to make the playoffs, you got to win your division first. So beating the Seahawks, priority one for San Francisco. All right, be back tomorrow. Mailbag, hit me up, Twitter, email. Talk to you then, right here, Locked On 49ers.